Hello, friends. You're listening to the Shellac Stack, a program featuring 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. We begin today with a recording made on location in Lincoln, Nebraska, on July 21st, 1908. The speaker is William Jennings Bryan, who was then running for President of the United States.
Mr. Chairman and gentlemen of the committee, I can never fully discharge the debt of gratitude which I owe to my countrymen for the honors which they have so generously bestowed upon me. But, sirs, whether it be my lot to occupy the high office for which the convention has named me, or to spend the remainder of my days in private life, it shall be my constant ambition and my controlling purpose to aid in realizing the high ideals of those whose wisdom and courage and sacrifices brought this republic into existence. I can conceive of a national destiny surpassing the glories of the present and the past, a destiny which meets the responsibilities of today and measures up to the possibilities of the future. Behold a republic resting securely upon the foundation stone quarried by revolutionary patriots from the mountain of eternal truth. A republic applying in practice and proclaiming to the world the self-evident proposition that all men are created equal, that they're endowed with inalienable rights, that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, and that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Behold a republic in which civil and religious liberty stimulate all to earnest endeavor, and in which the law restrains every hand uplifted for a neighbor's injury. A republic in which every citizen is a sovereign, but in which no one cares to wear a crown. Behold a republic standing erect while empires all around are bowed beneath the weight of their own armaments. A republic whose flag is love, while other flags are only fears. Behold a republic increasing in population, in wealth, in strength, and in influence, solving the problems of civilization and hastening the coming of an universal brotherhood. A republic which shakes thrones and dissolves aristocracies by its silent example and gives light and inspiration to those who sit in darkness. Behold a republic gradually but surely becoming the supreme moral factor in the world's progress and the accepted arbiter of the world's disputes. A republic whose history, like the path of the just, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Leaves a thought that is big and strong with a wish that is kind and true. Our memory has painted this perfect day with colors that never fade. And we find at the end of a perfect day the soul of a friend we've met.
While I generally try to refrain from making political statements on this program, the aftermath of this year's unusually vitriolic presidential election has left me, well, deeply unsettled. If one of the candidates came across as occasionally condescending and insincere, the other was uniquely unqualified for the office he sought and unprecedented in his vitriol and outspoken criticism of freedoms Americans have long enjoyed and, in some cases, have come to take for granted. Although I revel in the music of the early 20th century, I don't wish to paint an overly rosy picture of the past. In many ways, I think we are far better off today as a country than we were in 1908, but in the wake of this recent election, it seemed appropriate to me that we should recall the hope, optimism, and commitment to the American ideals of liberty and equality voiced by William Jennings Bryan in his campaign for president more than a century ago. For whatever flaws Bryan had, and he had plenty, I admire his eloquence in describing, quote, a republic applying in practice and proclaiming to the world the self-evident proposition that all men are created equal, that they're endowed with inalienable rights, that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, and that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. It is precisely this last point that has me so unsettled, because I worry that as this country becomes increasingly and more deeply divided among class lines, and if our new president-elect is any indication of the kind of political discourse we will tolerate and even reward, in the future, then regardless of who sits in the Oval Office, we will continue to see an erosion in the consent of the governed, as William Jennings Bryan put it. Unless we work now to dial back divisive rhetoric and build bridges of understanding among the many kinds of people who inhabit this country, it is very possible that the end of our perfect day as a country isn't so very far off. Of course, I hope I am wrong about that, and so, in the spirit of optimism, and in recognition that all of us, Democrat, Republican, Independent, and our non-American friends around the world, have a need for a little fun and relaxation once in a while, let's get back to the music, to these little 3-minute musical diversions that remind me of the human capacity for peaceful expression and creativity. For the most part, the records I've selected are offered with no political undertones, although I admit that I chose a few with current events and people in mind. So we started with William Jennings Bryan speaking from his home in Lincoln, Nebraska on July 21st, 1908. The Victor Record Company sent portable recording equipment all the way out there to record that. It was a speech called An Ideal Republic, issued on Victor Record number 16168. And I think it's marvelously recorded. I mean, you can even hear the sibilance on the S's, which is so unusual on acoustic recordings. After that, we heard the National Cavaliers with A Perfect Day, recorded for the Victor label in Liederkranz Hall in New York City on March 25th, 1929. The National Cavaliers, the song by Kerry Jacobs Bond, Victor 21926. Now, I said I did have perhaps a few people in the news in mind in selecting some of the records, and I'll leave it up to you to figure out who might be inspiring these next several selections. First, it's Jimmy Noon and his orchestra, recorded in Chicago, January 15th, 1936. Decca record number 18439. It's called He's the Different Type of Guy. Thank you.
Believe me when I said I love you, when you know I've been a liar all my life.
You've had that reputation since you was a youth.
You must have been insane to think I'd tell you the truth.
How could I believe you when you said we'd marry?
Why, you know I'd rather hang than have a wife. I know I said I'd make you mine.
Now wouldn't you know that I would go for that old line?
How could you believe me when I said I love you, when you know I've been a liar?
You sure have been a liar.
A double-crossing liar.
A double-crossing liar.
All my doggone cheating lies.
You said you would love me long.
So what?
And never would do me wrong.
Stop bending the suit.
Faithful you'd always be.
Me? Why, baby, you must be loony to trust a lower than low two timer like me.
You said I'd have everything.
Get hard.
A beautiful diamond ring.
Ha, ha, ha.
A bungalow by the sea.
A bungalow, yes. You're really naive to ever believe a full of baloney phony like me.
Well, I sure must have lost my head.
You ain't lost nothing you never had.
What about the time you went to Indiana?
I was lying. I was down in Alabama.
You said you had some business you had to complete.
What I was doing, I would be a cat to repeat.
What about the evenings you was with your mother?
I was romping with another honey lamb.
To think you swore our love was real.
Baby, leave us, not forget that I'm a heel.
How could I believe you when you said you loved me?
Why, you know I've been a liar.
A good-for-nothing liar.
All my good-for-nothing lies.
this. It's the last time I'll ever go to a party with you.
Will you put that in writing?
Oh, you're always making crack.
Like what?
Well, you always humiliate me. Didn't your mother never teach you no manners?
I never had no mother. We was too poor.
Hey, what's the matter with you lately? You used to tell me you loved me. You used to treat me like a high-class dame. Well, usn't you?
So are you.
Ah, there, so you admit it.
I ain't admitting nothing.
I'll give you one more chance. Do you love me or don't you?
No, I don't.
Quit stalling around. I want a direct answer. You know you've been a liar.
I know I've been a liar.
A double-crossing liar.
A double-crossing liar.
Oh, you're good.
Who else but Fred Astaire and Jane Powell? The song called How Could You Believe Me When I Said I Loved You When You Know I've Been a Liar All My Life. And you better believe I picked that with somebody in particular in mind. That was from the film Royal Wedding, an MGM release, Technicolor film from 1951. And that was released on the MGM record label 30316. And incidentally, that may be just about the longest song title I've ever seen on a 78 label. It's quite crammed in there. Before that, Jimmy Noon and his orchestra recording for the Decca label in January of 1936, something called He's the Different Type of Guy. And you better believe that, too. My name is Brian Wright. You're listening to the Shellac Stack, a program featuring 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. And now we'll transition away from anything that might be remotely political with A Magic Melody by Les Paul and Mary Ford. And, well, that could describe this tune, but it's also the name of it. It is called Magic Melody. This is Capitol Record number 3248. Mary Ford sings the, I guess you can call it a vocal. Les Paul composed this thing. It was recorded in about 1955. Here it is, Magic Melody.
Thank you. good is your pining? Find your silver lining and keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. You'll make the clouds hurry away, humming a lovely love song. Some lucky day, somebody may come along. Chase all of your sorrow, take care of tomorrow, and keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon.
Well, we started that little set with the unmistakable sound of Les Paul and Mary Ford, a married couple at the time they made that, back in 1955, thing called Magic Melody, recorded for Capitol Records. After that, we went back to 1927 for a thing from Waring's Pennsylvanians, something I pulled out in honor of last week's supermoon. I could have pulled out just about any number of hundreds of moon-related songs, but this one seemed to have a nice positive, uplifting note to it, so I thought we would listen to Keep Sweeping the Cobwebs Off the Moon, a song by Louis Young and Oscar Levant. That was Tom Waring singing the vocal from December 13th, 1927, as I say. And from that, we'll go to another song written by Louis Young, this time with Allert. Is that Fred Allert, I think? Recorded November 14th, 1924, another very popular band of the 1920s, George Olsen and his music. And this one, similarly, in an optimistic vein, and the one that will follow it. It's called Put Away a Little Ray of Golden Sunshine for a Rainy Day.
Thank you. You know, life is a canvas, folks, on which we all can paint. Paint any old picture that we may. Why, there's the rich man, look at him, the poor man, the devil, the saint, and they're all painting pictures every day. Why, you know, some painted colors have a wonderful hue, while others use colors of strife. But I want to tell you that every word, every thought, every little thing that we do goes down on our canvas of life. So come on, folks, and just dip your brush in the sunshine and keep on painting away. Oh, do it now. Make love a duty, and you're bound to find beauty wherever your eyes are gonna stray. And life, it's gonna seem worthwhile living. Oh, say, folks, skies, they'll never be gray. No, sir, if you just dip your brush in the sunshine. Sure to tell you, keep on painting, painting away. Everybody, keep on painting away. Paint it, Benny, paint it. Oh, do it, Benny. Paint it blue, Benny. Sky blue, Benny. Paint those windowsills and let the little sun shine in. Paint it red, Moxie. Paint it red. Red hot. Red hot. That's it, Moxie. Come on, everybody. Just dip your brush up in the sunshine. That's the place, folks, and keep on painting away. Do what I tell you now. Just keep on painting away. Yes, sir.
You know, when it seems that ominous clouds are hanging overhead, I begin to understand the appeal just a bit more of Ted Lewis and his campaign to make everybody happy. That's called Dip Your Brush in the Sunshine, and it featured Muggsy Spanier and Benny Goodman, among many other jazz notables. That was recorded in New York City, April 13th, 1931. The original 10-inch 78 is rather scarce, and my copy is actually a reissue on the Decatur label, a 10-inch record that probably came out around 1950 or so. That's Decatur number 504. Incidentally, the tune was by Andy Razaf and J.C. Johnson. The band, of course, Ted Lewis and his band. Before that, we heard from George Olson and his music, Put Away a Little Ray of Golden Sunshine for a Rainy Day, a nice instrumental issued by the Victor label in late 1924. That was recorded November 14th, 1924 in New York. Incidentally, I mentioned that that was composed by the team of Lewis, Young, and Fred Allert, and I should clarify, I didn't mean that the first composer's name was Lewis Young. It occurred to me as we were listening to that, it might have been construed that way. But actually, that was written by Sam M. Lewis, Joe Young, and Fred Allert. So three composers there. Similarly for the one before that, when we heard Waring's Pennsylvanians play Keep Sweeping the Cobwebs Off the Moon, that was a composition by, once again, Sam M. Lewis, Joe Young, and in that time, Oscar Levant. Well, I heard not too long ago from my friend in South Korea, Jihoon Suk, who asked to hear some Grey Gull Dance Band records. And I have a whole box of Grey Gull records, and I, for whatever reason, have not dipped into it very much when preparing the Shellac Stack program, so I reached in and pulled out two records recorded by the Grey Gull label for you now. Actually, neither of these is technically on the Grey Gull label, but Grey Gull had a number of subsidiary labels, things like Globe, Madison, Supreme, Radiex, Van Dyke. There are really so many, we could sort of spend the rest of the program listing them all. But I've pulled out a Supreme record, which is anything but, followed by a Van Dyke record, which proclaims on the label that each record is a masterpiece, and, well, I'll let you judge for yourself. The first one that we'll listen to is Supreme number 2218. Honey Duke and His Uke is the performer, I think it's really Johnny Marvin. And he's doing that classic hit of the 1920s, 5'2", Eyes of Blue. Now, I should note that I pulled this record out, and as I was playing it, I couldn't get over how poorly recorded it was, even for Grey Gull. And for those of you who may not be terribly familiar with the Grey Gull label, it was notoriously cheap in terms of recording quality, in terms of pressing quality. It had started back around 1920 or 21 as a full-priced record label meant to compete with the likes of Victor, Columbia, and Brunswick. And they started out pretty well, actually. The early Grey Gull records were fairly substantial, had nice pressings, nice color labels, but very quickly they devolved into these really cheaply made things that feel rather flimsy. They always seem to turn up heavily worn, and the sound quality often leaves a lot to be desired. This one is probably one of the worst I've ever heard, and I thought twice about playing it for you, but I decided that, well, you're going to get the full Grey Gull experience here. So this was dreadfully under-recorded, and I had to do some work after transferring this to boost the level of the audio to an acceptable level, and even so, you'll notice there's still a fair bit of noise, but like I say, that's the Grey Gull experience. 5'2", Eyes of Blue. After that, we'll hear a group called the Collegiate Jazzers, which is almost certainly led by Mike Mosiello. It's one of the house bands that recorded at Grey Gull in the late 20s and early 30s. And Grey Gull, it seems, kind of like the Plaza Record Company, which issued records under the Banner and Regal labels. Grey Gull was looking for ways to cut back on the royalties they owed songwriters and publishers for records, so they hired their own guys to write B-sides, to write songs that would go on the back of a hit tune. And then they didn't have to pay royalties because these were hired out and, you know, purchased upfront at a set rate. All this is a way of saying this next record is one of those. It's called Adeline, and it was written by Mike Mosiello. You'll probably never find another recording of this by anyone, anywhere. But it's a pretty neat record, actually. Kind of a slow, hot thing. So, Jihoon, I hope you'll enjoy both of these. Starting with Honey Duke and his uke, 5'2", Eyes of Blue, followed by a masterpiece of a record, according to the label, Adeline, by the Collegiate Jazzers on Van Dyke 81821.
I just saw a maniac, 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 wild and tearing his hair. Jumping like a jumping jack, jumping jack, jumping jack, wild, I had to be there. I laughed aloud, I thought that I was caving when I heard this silly daffodilly raven. 5'2", Eyes of Blue, know what those daffodils could be. Has anybody seen my girl? Well, turned up nose, turned down hose, laughter, yes sir, one of those. Has anybody seen my girl? Now if you run into 5'2", covered with fur, diamond rings and all those things, I bet your life is given her. Could she love, could she woo, could she too? Has anybody seen my girl? Thank you.
So there you have two records made by the Grey Gull Company of Boston in the late 20s. First, we heard Honey Duke and His Uke, Johnny Marvin with 5 Foot Two Eyes of Blue, followed by a group credited simply as the Collegiate Jazzers, probably led by Mike Mosiello, a thing called Adeline on the Van Dyke label 81821. And now, since I was so loquacious in introducing both of those records, we'll try to keep it short in introducing the next record, which is the Philadelphia Orchestra, led by Leopold Stokowski. Yes, once in a while I like to pull out a classical record, and this one just seems right somehow for right about now. This is from Debussy's set of three nocturnes that came out in, I believe he composed these around 1899. This recording dates from November 7th, 1937. It's Victor 15814, a double-sided thing. We'll listen to both sides. This is the first in Debussy's set of nocturnes called simply Nuages, or in English, Clouds.
Thank you.
A remarkably beautiful and justly famous piece of music, I think. That was Nuages, or Clouds, the first in a set of three nocturnes by Claude Debussy. And as I tell my students, a nocturne is a piece meant to evoke the night. So you can imagine clouds floating by at night as you listen to that, and something that I think we all need right about now. Leopold Stokowski conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra from November of 1937. And with that, we come towards the end of today's stack of shellac. I want to thank you for tuning in, joining me for this program of 78s from the first half of the 20th century. If you enjoyed it, maybe you'll tell a friend, share the link to this program. And as I always say, if not, maybe you won't tell anyone. If you want to write to me, I always welcome your emails. The address is shellacstack@gmail.com, or you can write to me through my website, www.briansright.com or shellacstack.com. Either one of those will take you to it. We've got one more record today, and this one comes from Paul Robeson. And yes, it might sound a little mopey, but this is how I feel right now. From January of 1926, recorded in Camden, New Jersey. It's a Lawrence Brown arrangement. Victor 20013, Paul Robeson sings, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." We'll be back with more smiles next time. I want to thank you again for listening. We'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long ways from home, a long ways from home. To from home.